KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And it's clear, 29 degrees in Atlantic at 8:01. We look for it to be mostly sunny today, a high of 49. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. In Western Iowa news, the state of Iowa has fined a Pomeroy nursing home where an 8-year-old girl reported seeing an elderly resident there being sexually assaulted by a registered sex offender who lives at the nursing home. The Des Moines Register says the 83-year-old sex offender hasn't been charged, but that a Calhoun County prosecutor said charges are expected. State records say an Iowa judge had ordered the man placed at the Pomeroy Care Center. The girl had been visiting with a relative on August 21st. She told officials she saw a man in the room of a resident in her upper 90s who has dementia. The state fined the center $10,000 last week for failing to protect its residents. The center's administrator has declined to comment on those state allegations. News time is 8:02.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Cass County officials announced Wednesday that the county has implemented the use of pictometry intelligent images in county assessment, GIS, and public safety offices. Pictometry imagery is high-resolution aerial oblique imagery that's geo-referenced to enable the accurate measurement of structures and land features directly on imagery. With pictometry's patented aerial oblique imagery, users can see the fronts and sides of locations from multiple perspectives and can measure area, distance, height, elevation, bearing, pitch, and more directly on imagery. Dwayne McFadden, county supervisor, said that pictometry imagery is used by more than a third of the counties in the U.S. because it's an approved and accurate way to do field calculations and dispatch the appropriate first response resources when they are needed the most. McFadden says with pictometry, counties can recoup the cost of investment within a year and can actually generate county income through significant improvements to work processes and fair and equitable assessment practices. As of November 1st, Pictometry Online is now available to Cass County entities for 1 year on a free trial basis. There are 200 seats available, with each seat entitled to 5 users for a total of 1,000 users. In addition to being able to view Cass County properties, you'll have access to Montgomery, Pottawatomie, and Shelby properties. For more information, you can contact Cass County Treasurer Tracy Marshall, Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Kennan, or Cass County Deputy Assessor Mary Anstey. Officials at the Iowa Department of Natural Resources began an effort to stock trout in several Iowa lakes Wednesday. The DNR released 1,000 rainbow trout Wednesday afternoon into Big Lake in Council Bluffs. Other trout release events are scheduled throughout the month in lakes in Spencer, Fort Dodge, Sioux City, Ames, and Mason City. The fish stocking efforts are part of the DNR's cool weather trout program that brings trout to areas that cannot support them during the summer months. Well, small towns in Iowa don't have to think small when it comes to art, according to one organizer of this weekend's event in Coon Rapids called Public Art for Rural Communities. It'll gather artists, art appreciators, patrons, and rural leaders from across the state to discuss prospects for public art, even in small rural towns. Doug Carpenter is the Rural Arts Coordinator for Creating Great Places.
There's been a question for years over what's the role of public art in small communities. So big towns have a lot of money and a lot of volunteers and can make things happen, but smaller towns have a smaller budget, and it makes it more difficult, and that doesn't keep small towns from pursuing it.
Carpenter says the event will showcase place-based art that reflects Coon Rapids' rich agricultural history as the cradle of hybrid seed corn on the Garst farm and host to Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev in 1959. One feature will be the large lighted sculpture Hybrid Icon at the Coon Rapids entryway.
We're bringing together people who have successfully started programs. Plus, we're bringing together some of the state people who know about public art and funding from the Iowa Arts Council.
He says from sculpture to singing and from dancing to poetry, people in small towns deserve art just as much as city folks, which is why the event is being held.
So we call it a gathering. It's not a symposium or a formal meeting or anything, but it's just inviting people who know about art or who are interested in art in small communities to come together and network, compare notes, and get ideas.
The gathering begins at 1:30 p.m. tomorrow and ends late Saturday morning with a visit to the 6th Annual Raccoon River Art Fair in downtown Coon Rapids. Some 80 cities are competing to become part of the Blue Zones project. That's part of the governor's plan to make Iowa the healthiest state in the nation by 2016. The project is being led by a company called Healthways and is funded by insurance provider Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Healthways spokesman Jason Smith says they're looking to narrow the 84 communities down to 10.
I think we also, as part of this, want to make sure that we have a mix of cities, small, medium, and large, that truly represent Iowa. And that other communities can look to and say, yep, they're kind of like us. If they can do it, we can do it too.
He says they want communities that have strong support from the public to participate.
Our ideal candidates were communities that had kind of a single municipality, single school district, not really complex communities, and communities where the majority of the people lived and worked versus a commuter town or a suburb where people sort of leave during the morning, come back at night.
Smith said the cities will be the centerpiece for the health movement in Iowa.
If you look at what we're trying to do, we are really trying to ignite a city-by-city movement to improve the well-being of the citizens of Iowa. And we're trying to do this by working with communities and employers to make permanent changes to environment and policies such that those permanent changes nudge people into the right behaviors and make the healthy choice the easy choice. That's really what we're about.
The cities chosen will be given an invitation to submit a formal application for the project by November 23rd. They must have those applications in by January 4th. A group of finalist communities will be selected to host a site between February 27th and March 16th of next year, and the final selection will be made in May. While the review process is underway, residents can support their community by pledging online at www.bluezonesproject.com. And among the 84 communities that have submitted statements of interest is Atlantic, Audubon, Carroll, Council Bluffs, Denison, Glenwood, Harlan, Manning, and Red Oak. Ivy Grocery Stores across the Midwest will honor America's veterans this Friday, November the 11th, by serving them a free breakfast for Veterans Day. Ivy President Randy Etiker said the event has grown in popularity in the past several years, with more than 80,000 free breakfasts served to veterans in 2010. The breakfast is complimentary for veterans and open to others at a small cost. Some Hy-Vee stores have planned programs, displays, entertainment, and other activities to go along with the breakfast, which will be served Friday from 7 a.m. until 11 a.m. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer reports three people suffered possible unknown injuries during two separate accidents earlier this week. On Tuesday, 57-year-old Gay Poole of Clermont, Missouri, was transported to the Clarinda Regional Hospital by a private vehicle following an accident on Highway 71. Poole was traveling north on the highway just north of 240th Street at around 5:30 p.m. when a deer appeared on the road. When the SUV Poole was driving collided with the animal, it sustained $6,000 damage. Poole, who was wearing her seatbelt, went to the hospital to be checked for any possible injuries. And this past Sunday, 16-year-old Sarah Gruen of Manning suffered minor possible injuries after she lost control of the car she was driving, causing the vehicle to enter a ditch and roll once before coming to rest on its wheels. The accident happened as the car was rounding a curve near 140th Street and Avenue C just before 1 o'clock Saturday. A passenger in that car, 16-year-old Jamie Stribling of Shenandoah, also suffered possible unknown injuries. Both girls were wearing their seatbelts. The teens were transported by ambulance to the Shenandoah Hospital to be checked out. Sheriff Palmer says Agroon was cited for failure to maintain control. The vehicle was totaled in the crash. Taking a look at national news headlines of this hour, the number of people applying for unemployment benefits is at its lowest level since April, which suggests that employers could be stepping up hiring. The Labor Department says applications for unemployment benefits dropped to a seasonally adjusted 390,000 last week, a third decline in 4 weeks. The four-week average, a less volatile measure, fell to 400,000, also the lowest point since April. Rick Perry says he, quote, stepped in it during last night's Republican presidential debate. Perry couldn't remember one of the three federal agencies he had said he would eliminate. He named the Commerce and Education Departments, but not Energy, which he had previously said he would close. Today, Perry says his goof won't force him out of the presidential race. And a school bus driver in New Jersey is facing charges after police say she picked up kids for school with a blood alcohol level more than three times the legal limit. A local newspaper said the children on the bus phoned their parents to say that Carol Crockett was swerving and falling asleep at the wheel, and the parents called police. News time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In the funeral announcements, 94-year-old Helen Johnson Allen of Stewart died Monday at the Cavanaugh House in Des Moines. Funeral services for Helen Allen will be today at 10 o'clock at Panora United Methodist Church. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. 59-year-old Joyce Elaine Miller of Persia died Saturday at her home. Funeral services for Joyce Miller will be today at 10 o'clock at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Persia. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. 91-year-old Mildred Schwab of Exira and formerly of Brayton died Monday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Mildred Schwab will be today at 10 o'clock at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. 64-year-old Kathy Coleman of Manning died Monday at the Manning Plaza. Funeral services for Kathy Coleman will be today at 11 o'clock at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning, with the Odie Funeral Home of Manning in charge of arrangements. Thomas Tom Earl Schumacher, age 61, of Avoca, died Friday at Mercy Medical Center. A massive Christian burial service for Thomas Schumacher will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan, with the Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan in charge of arrangements. Walter B. Peterson, Jr., age 86, of Audubon, died Monday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Walter Peterson, Jr. will be held today at 1:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. 57-year-old Al M. Wernemont of Atlantic died Sunday at the Cass County Hospice Center. Funeral services for Al Wernemont will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. 94-year-old Dorothy Lucille Liddell of Harlan died Wednesday, that's November 2nd, at the Elmcrest Retirement Home in Harlan. Funeral services for Dorothy Liddell will be held on Friday at 11 a.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. 93-year-old Dr. John Hennessy of Manila died Tuesday in Denison. A massive Christian burial service for Dr. John Hennessy will be tomorrow at 2 p.m. at the Sacred Heart Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. 85-year-old Elmer Stenstrom of Coon Rapids died Tuesday. Funeral services for Elmer Stenstrom will be Saturday at 10 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. 69-year-old Roger Wright of Lewis died Monday at his home. Funeral services for Roger Wright will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. 92-year-old Jane Miller of Atlantic and formerly of Anita died Sunday. Memorial services for Jane Miller will be held Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Congregational United Church of Christ in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita has the arrangements. 94-year-old Ralph Chiz Jones of Audubon died October 17th in Des Moines. Celebration of Life services for Chiz Jones will be held Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Audubon High School Auditorium. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. And 95-year-old John Edward Venick of Missouri and formerly of Manila died Monday. Funeral services for John Venick will be held next Wednesday at 10:30 at the United Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has the arrangements. That is a check of our news this hour. There is more news available online at KJAN.com. Our report brought to you today by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.